Well, praise the Lord. We're back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Astrid is, I know that. She brought all of herself in here tonight. Amen. And that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. I'm going to talk about the song service a little bit. You know, God's had me just look at the praise and worship leaders that are so anointed that's out there. And he's just had me look to see what kind of life they live. And he had me look at songs that are coming out, and they're all personal songs, everyday, every life songs of how we live. And so, you know, as we sing, of course, we sing House of the Lord. And then sing it from the shackles. That's saying, no matter what you're going through, just praise God. Just tear down those walls through your praise and your worship. Doesn't matter what your heart's feeling, what your head's saying. Just praise God in the midst of your pain. Now, Christian Stanfield, I just read where he was an alcoholic. He's been clean for 2 years now. And you would never know that to watch him up there leading praise and worship. And see, he was afraid to reveal to anybody what he was going through because he thought everybody would shun him. But when he brought it out into the open, he found out everybody was waiting there with open arms to minister to him. And now he's been free from alcohol for over 2 years. And this is whenever he sang Breakthrough Miracle Power. If you knew his life history, you would understand he was saying, He needed to be free. He needed God to come and touch him. And then whenever you read, sing He Is, Crowder was saying he's everything we need, absolutely everything. And then you sing Raise a Hallelujah. Well, you know what that's all about. That song was written because that little boy was dying. So if you really and truly look at praise and worship leaders, every one of them have gone through terrible, terrible battles. Why? Because of the anointing to break the yokes through praise. And the enemy is attacking our praise and worship leaders, trying to bring them down. And this is why God had me study them, so that I could see what they're going through. Well, first of all, he told me to pray for Chris Tomlin. That was the first person he told me to pray for. He said, because the enemy is really going to attack him. Now, I don't know what he went through. There's nothing, I haven't read anything on him. I just haven't looked him up. But, you know, God loves his praise and worship leaders. And they're human like you and I. And just because they're up there with a powerful anointing does not mean they're not struggling. Are you listening here? But these praise and worship leaders are not giving up. They're just writing songs about what they're going through. We're all singing what they're going through. And what it's doing is helping heal us also. And really and truly, if you really look at ministers, I don't care what they are, evangelists, whatever, they're all going through something. You know yourself sitting here tonight that you are going through things you never thought you'd ever go through. And you know that the enemy is trying to take you out and he's throwing everything at you that he can. But these songs say, sing it from the shackles. Praise God when the enemy has you under his feet. Don't give up just because you think the enemy is winning. Keep on fighting. And you know, God just had me really look at what's going on in the world with the whole church. And the whole church has been under attack for at least 10 years, I know. Very, very strong. And God has been encouraging us, keep going, and you know, do this, do that, do the other. He never quit encouraging us to go forth, no matter what was being thrown at us. And this morning, whenever God was weeping, and he said he was weeping over us, what he was showing me is he has to sit up in heaven, just like he did with his son. He had to watch his son go through all that terrible agony so we could one day sit in heavenly places. And today, what he showed me, whenever he was saying it, I'm weeping over my people, he watches us go through our struggles. He watches how people come against us and speak false words against us. He could stop it at any given moment, but he can't. We have to go through these different adventures in our life, these tests or trials, to build character and to bring us forth as strong towers so we can go minister to other people. So we are really all a battered bunch of lovers of Jesus. Right, aren't we?
Yes.
And you know, if we could just understand this. You know, Kenneth Copeland, you know, I've cut my teeth on him. And him and Kenneth Hagin, and you know, when he sprained his wrist, his ankle, to it didn't break it, but just near being broke, and he was in pain with that thing for 2 years. And all they teach is faith and healing, but he wasn't healed for 2 years. And then finally, one day when he was at a meeting with, I think it was Kenneth Hagin, I'm not sure now, but anyhow, God healed his ankle. And everybody told him, you know, he needed to do this and that and the other, but he was standing on faith. And we need to quit trying to tear down people's faith. All right, so if you're like, if you're fighting addiction of some sort, keep fighting. God sees what you're going through. He has people praying for you. And he is with you in your struggle. But he has to let you go through that struggle. He has to let you go through it so that you're stronger before than you were before you went in it. I mean, after. You're stronger after than you were before you went in it. You have strength and you have character. You have integrity. And you can help others. I'm hearing God say there's a cruel bunch out there that would like to put us under condemnation continually. And you know, God started showing me this about a year ago, and just the other day I said, God, you had me teach about you have to be holy. You do have to be holy. And now you're sort of, you know, let me see this other stuff that's going on, and I don't understand it. Tonight, sitting there while we were singing, God said, you will now be able to minister to other people who were in sin. But he's throwing these extra little things in right now to make us even stronger than we were before. Because whenever he sends in the world, they're going to be going through what you just came out of. And he's just bringing this knowledge to us now so that we just don't get all blown apart when all this sin is thrown at us from every point in other people that we have to minister to. So we have to look at this, the world, through different eyes than we looked at the church. You understand this? So we can no longer look at the world and say, you sinner, you. They have not been sitting in church 15 to 20 years. They don't know any better. So when they come in now, you're going to have to remember from whence you came. And then you're going to have to start at the low level and work up with them until they understand everything that you understand. Does that help us any at all? I mean, you know, God's really been taking me through a school on this. I believe that Aaron could write a book about it. No, I just tease him. God wants me to write a book. So I'm just passing it off on Aaron, you see. But do you understand what God's doing here? In these songs that they were singing, I mean, God always, he put together 6 praise and worship songs, you know, just the other day, it just one setting. And I usually spend hours, you know, trying to get, you know, waiting for God to show me what to do. But, and it's all about when you're really hurting and you're really struggling, it's all about looking up. Keep praising, keep worshiping, keep moving forward. And as you read your word, the disciples were a mess, weren't they? And even though they walked with Jesus for 3 years, they were still a mess. They were there firsthand with the Messiah. But when he left, they became strong towers, and they were no longer a mess. So we have become strong towers, guys. And you're really ready to minister to the lost and the dying now. And I know that the glory is going to drop. And it's going to drop on you individually, even. And when it hits you, be ready for it. Don't stand and say, what's this all about? It's what you've been asking for. And when the glory hits you strong, I'm hearing God say, he's going to manifest through you. And then he's going to work through you. And, and I'm just hearing, he's really laughing right now. And he's saying, you're struggling with your own personal sin. And here I come with my glory and set you free instantly, then make you minister to somebody else that's messed up. That's how God works, doesn't he? That's our Father. I'm hearing him right now. I'm just trying to hear everything he said. He said, you have to be a quick thinker. Because when he moves upon you, you're going to have to act quickly. And you're not going to be able to ponder on what's happening. You just have to start moving very quickly and accomplish what God wants to accomplish through you. Isn't that awesome? New year, new things, new revelation that we're all messed up. Amen. Come on. But God sees that. This morning when he was crying over the people, it just gave me a whole new perspective of what God's really doing. He said, I have to let them go through it. I could stop it in a second, but they have to go through it to grow strength. So guys, God is not happy with what you have to go through. But he has to let you go through it. And then that brings you right back to Job again, right? When he said we were going through a Job experience. Job went before God asking for us. And God said, sure, why not? I'm going to show you what they're made of. And sometimes we don't think that God really knows his business. Because he lets us go through some really tough things, right? But he knows us inside and out. And God said it. He's saying about me, I made you an encourager from your mother's womb. And I've always been able to, even no matter what I'm going through, I've been able to use it to encourage others. So what has God, placed in you from your mother's womb? Think about this. And whenever I was born again at 50, I said, God, I wasted 50 years of my life. He said, no, you didn't. You were in training for 50 years. Now your ministry is beginning. So don't ever think that your life has been wasted because you're in training until the day that God puts you in your ministry. All right? You've been learning. You've been falling. You've been getting up. And you've been trusting God, learning to trust God. Father, I truly do thank you right now, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory for your spirit does truly fill this temple today. I know that your Holy Spirit is here in all of your glory. So, Father, I'm asking you to speak to these people who came out tonight to sit at your table, be fed fresh manna from heaven. Speak to them right now, Father. Father, I would really love for you to just say just anything to them right now. Not through a prophet, but just let them hear your still, small voice of instruction. And Father God, I know you tell us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. But I'm asking you right now, Father God, as you speak that few words to each one personally, that it is to encourage them and to build them up. To bring them to a new height in your kingdom. And Father, I thank you for it. Father God, you said whatever I spoke forth, whatever I touched, you would do. I'm speaking this forth tonight. Give them a small word that they can hold on to. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. What I would like for you to do, if you're here, if you've heard a word, just raise your hand. As you hear the word, just raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Father God, I thank you that you're faithful and you're true. And that you have spoken to your people. Tonight, what I'm going to do is, I call this forging forward. I had a different message I was going to give, but I ran across this. God gave us this a year ago. And I want to read it because it goes along with what God spoke this morning. So listen carefully to what God is telling us. Ezekiel 1:12 says, "And each went straight forward wherever the Spirit was about to go. They would go without turning as they went." Each one went straight forward wherever the Spirit was about to go. You know, being led by the Spirit, they would go without turning as they went. They just, they just followed the Spirit. Didn't go to the right, to the left. They followed the Spirit. Now, this is what God said to us a year ago. "This day, we are forging forward into a brand new dispensation of time. What worked in the past era will not work in this era because of the nature of the work that lies ahead of you. You cannot go back and apply the formula that used to work, for you will find that nothing old works in the new. This new dispensation of time will require fasting quite often, more quiet time sitting at my feet seeking instructions, loving when you don't feel like loving, showing grace and mercy more often than in the past. Why all the change, you ask? Number one, new sheep in the houses." See, we're going to be ministering to the world. "Number two, new challenges that you have never thought of lie before you. Number three, having faith to take a step without knowing the full picture of where I am taking you." You see that? "You are the new breeds that I have had on the backside of the desert, and I have already brought you forth to lead the great harvest into my heavenly kingdom. You will find yourself so wrapped up in my works that you will spend the majority of your time in my houses, ministering to the lost sheep that I am sending to your houses of refuge. This will be nothing like trying to get the so-called saved saved. This is a brand new warfare that you have entered into, and all of Hades is arrayed against you. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will be familiar to you. For I have told you that old things are gone and all things are brand new. You will need to hear my still small voice at every turn." I believe that's why God said to listen for a still small voice right now tonight. "For you will need to know how to fight the new battles that are coming your way. This is a dispensation of time when I said you would need to call on the angelic host. So therefore, you will need to understand all about angelic activity and their abilities to assist you in each fight you encounter. You have to learn to call on your angels." A couple months ago, God said, "Why don't you call on your angel? He'll fight this battle for you." So I did, and guess what? The battle was going. All right? "No more sitting back on your laurels, allowing someone else to do the works you are called forth to do. You will be on your toes at all times, listening and warring. The signs, wonders, and miracles that you so wanted bring with them work. And work you shall. You shall work for the kingdom of heaven just as Paul and my disciples did. You will be so committed to me that you will give up your very life for the gospel's sake. Why is this work so important, you ask? Children, you are preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. You are getting the houses in order so my spirit can work continually. You see that? You are getting the houses in order so my spirit can work continually. You have to get your house in order. You have to work at getting and keeping your house in order. God is not going to come in there and say, well, I'm cleaning today, so move out. He's not saying that. He said, you clean your own house, and I'll be here to assist you. All right? You are getting the houses in order so my spirit can work continually. New houses of worship will spring up all over this great land. Some old houses of worship will close, but everything is working for the kingdom of heaven and the restoration of the church back to her original state, which is holiness. My son Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and your assignments are to bring the new sheep, into the full knowledge of what it means to walk in righteousness with total holiness. You find it in Ephesians 5:27. That is why you had to keep going back to the furnace of affliction. I had to purge all the darkness out of you and bring you totally into my marvelous light where my glory could dwell. Remember what God said, you can go around this mountain as often as you want, and whenever you're ready to quit, I'll be standing here waiting on you. So some of us went around the mountain over and over and over again, and finally God said, when are you going to quit? When are you just going to give it up and allow me to take you forth? As glory carriers, where there was nothing but total confusion, you will bring peace. As what? Glory carriers. You will bring peace to troubled lands. You will bring structure on all sides. Now, the troubled lands is people, for one thing. And the glory that you're carrying is going to remove the darkness in their lives, and it's going to bring them into that marvelous light that God speaks about. You will see the blind eyes open to see my gospel as it truly is. So, you know, it's not that we can't see in a natural, we don't see in the spiritual. And he's saying here, you will see the blind eyes open to see my gospel as it truly is, not as some man says it is. You know, man can tell us anything he wants to tell us. He can twist the gospel. And it's up to us to know the truth, and God has been teaching us the truth. And then not only is it up to us to get the truth, we have to keep the truth. I was telling somebody, I was reading an article this afternoon where, they quoted the scripture. Well, the question was, are tattoos godly? And then they quoted the scripture that says, do not tattoo yourself. But then what they did with that scripture was unreal. And, you know, and some people ask, well, if I have a tattoo, can I go to heaven? If you were tattooed before you knew you shouldn't tattoo yourself, of course you're going to heaven. But after you knew the truth and then you tattooed, I don't know what's going to happen to you. And we always repent, I know that. But I'm not going to tell you whether you can or not, because I don't know. That's between you and God. But what they went on to say about tattoos is unreal. Then they say, well, that was for that time. No, that isn't true. All right, where am I at? You will see the blind eyes open to see my gospel as it truly is, not as some man says it is. You will be partakers with the heavenly kingdom, and you will travel to my kingdom anytime you so desire. You know, who is a cat cur that's always going to heaven? The other day I said, God, if I turn my hair pink, can I go to heaven? Yeah, because we're all asking to go to heaven, right? And she just goes in and out like she owns it or something. I would like to go too. Not to stay, but just to get some revelation. Why am I, God says, why am I going to allow this to happen? You need divine heavenly guidance to walk through this new dispensation of time. He said, you can go to my kingdom anytime you desire. Why am I going to allow this to happen? Because you need divine heavenly guidance to walk through this new dispensation of time. The roads you traveled in the past are gone, and what lies before you is brand new. And I know a lot of us, you know, God's asked us to do a thing. We don't understand what's going on. We're being obedient, and we're walking forward, but we really don't know what we're doing. We're just walking in obedience and doing whatever God's telling us to do, right? You will not know which way to walk unless you have spent time at my feet. The days of agape glory will be upon the earth, and all my chosen vessels will walk forthright in all of their ways. See that? The days of agape glory will be upon the earth, and all my chosen vessels will walk forthright in all of their ways. I have commissioned you to cross over and to do the mighty works of preparing the way for the second coming of my Son, Jesus. You shall be a sign and a wonder to what my Son, Jesus, is all about. How many people look at you now and say, boy, you're a sign and a wonder. Can't understand what you do for nothing, right? Because I'm sorry, but, you know, carnal people cannot understand spiritual things. And you're walking in the Spirit, and you're doing what you know in your spirit, man, that God wants you to do. And, you know, and you're telling the people, I can't do what you're asking me to do. They don't understand that. So you have to keep doing what God's asking you to do. You shall never once look behind, for your eyes will be steadfast upon what I am having you do at every given moment. See that? I tell you, children, you cannot fathom what you have stepped into, and you cannot fathom what a great dispensation of time you have entered into. You know, when I sit up there, God said, you shall never once look behind, for your eyes will be steadfast upon what I'm having you to do at every given moment. One time, after I was born again, my whole family thought I went crazy, because I just read the Word, and I believed everything it said, and I did what it told me that I could do. Well, one day, everybody was in the kitchen, and everybody was arguing, and God said to me, he said, daughter, he says, get rid of the enemy right now. And if you don't, he will always live here. I looked around at my husband and my children, and I thought that they already think I'm crazy, because one time I did a deliverance on Jimmy. He was just little, and you know, of course, when a demon left, he fell to the floor and collapsed. You killed him, you know. And it wasn't about a week later whenever God told me, get rid of the enemy in your home right now, or he will always remain. And I looked around at all of them, and I thought, I can't do that. They always think I'm nuts. And I didn't. The sword has never left my home. And isn't that what happened to David? The sword never left his home. So I'm saying that to say this. Be obedient to everything. It doesn't matter what people think about you. Because look what I've done. I've bound myself up for 30-some years because I thought I was afraid they'd think I had lost my mind. It doesn't matter. I hadn't lost my mind, but I sure lost my peace on that given day in my home. So what are you going to do? Are you going to obey God? Or are you going to worry about what man has to say? God said, I have been raising up writers of books that will be filled with instructions on how to walk this path in newness of life. These books will be filled with the awesomeness of the heavenly kingdom. The courtroom series is so important, and some that I have instructed to write on my courtroom in heaven have been laxed in their assignment, and because of this laxness, I had to find others to write these very important books of instruction. I'm going to tell you, if God called you to walk right on the courtroom and you haven't, and you can't seem to get it together, has God left you? Has God taken this assignment he gave you and you wouldn't do it and give it to somebody else? I believe so. I really believe so. But you need to take that before the Father. There are also other subjects that I have called people to write on, and they have dragged their feet, and now I am going to assign others to write the instructions for me. I've been encouraging each one of you that God has called you to be a writer. Please get your books written. And if you haven't, you might never write them. God will just give all that knowledge to somebody else. Not me, but to somebody else. All right, in this new dispensation of time, you will see the healing ministry come alive once again. Are you listening? God told me I'm bringing healing back into the church. When my glory drops, healing will come with it, and you will see all kind of miracles. The raising of the dead will be commonplace in this dispensation. Limbs being restored will be nothing to those who believe. Where there was no eyes, eyes will appear. I tell you, children, you have seen absolutely nothing yet. And we haven't. God's given me a glimpse into what's going to happen. It is the most marvelous event in church history. Some have gone back and read about other great revivals, and they are saying, I am restoring these revivals once again. Not so. And when I read it, I didn't believe that either. God is not going back and using what he used to do. And God said, not so. What I am doing is so much greater than what I have already accomplished. God never goes back and uses the old. He always presses forward and uses the new. So when people do that, I don't go back and read what used to happen. I want it to happen right now. Not what used to happen, but I want it to happen right now. What did God tell me? Whenever he took all the anointing for all the healings and everything away from the church, he said, don't ever want what you used to have, even though it was good, because I have so much greater for this church to do. And I really have to check myself continually, not wanting what we used to have, because it was great. But you wait and see what we're going to walk into. Have I not said, do not want what you used to have, for what I am taking you into is far greater? Then, if I said it, why are you reading about what I used to do? Move forward and quit procrastinating. Move forward in complete knowledge that what I said is already here. All you have to do is step into it. And I'm rereading this tonight because of what God did for New Year's. It is here, and now he wants us to step into this. Anointing, you have seen nothing as of yet. The powerful anointing from upon high is dropping like never before. This anointing will destroy every yoke, and this anointing will bring my children forth into total victory at every turn. Isn't that neat? Every turn. This anointing will not take days, months, and even years to manifest. It will manifest right before your eyes instantly. And Naomi, to tell you the truth, last night in prayer, I saw you standing even on the street. And as the people walked by, you never touched them, but you just said, Father God, whatever they need, give it to them. And great healings took place in the people's bodies. And a lot of times we want to lay our hands on people. We want people to know it's us that's doing things. But this isn't where God's at. Just be like Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood. If only I could touch the hem of your garment. If I could just get close to Jesus, I'll get this healing or whatever you need. And this is where we're at right now. It's not going to some great church. It's not, it's just wanting to get close to Jesus. And when you get close to Jesus, the healings will manifest. The miracles will manifest. And I was thinking the other night when I used to sit up here, and I would sit up here in awe. Well, I stood then. I'd stand in awe at what I saw people doing around about me, and I thought, why are you doing that? I did not realize at that point that they weren't in the Spirit. They were trying to make things happen in their own flesh, and it wasn't happening. And because I was standing here, and God would just use me mightily, and people were doing what I call dumb things. So, you know, don't try to do dumb things. Just be a vessel. Just be a vessel for God to move through. You and I read, and nothing's wrong with this, please. I just want to give you an example. I read where people will get up in the morning, they'll spend an hour or two, you know, reading the Word and sitting before the Father. And the other morning I get up and I sit down. I said, all right, Father, I'm going to do like other people. I'm going to read your Word and sit before you for an hour. And he said, why? I said, well, everybody says that's the thing to do. He says, have you been doing that all your walk with me? I said, no. And I haven't. I do read my Word, but I don't go sit for an hour every morning, make it the first thing. I pray before I get out of bed, and then I go and I hear a word from the Father, and I go about my business. He said, why do you want to change your life for what somebody else does? He said, I enjoy you like you are. So, you know, just because somebody says this is what you have to do, is it really? And please, I'm not downing any of that. I'm just saying, and well, God's saying, he said, you tell them I'm saying they have to learn to think for themselves and hear for themselves and do what I'm telling them to do. All right, he said, you're not a bunch of clones. You're individual children. I've lost my place. The cross is an example of a powerful anointing. My son endured all that cross punishment and gave his life to set you free. My son started this great powerful anointing on the cross, and when he said, it is finished, it was finished. The anointing destroyed every yoke right then and there. So many things need to be accomplished before the second coming of my son Jesus. And you, church, you are assisting the angelic host and the Holy Spirit in this great works to bring it to pass. What are you doing? You are assisting. You're not running the show. And see, we all think we're running the show. And that's why the show closed down. Because it's the angelic host, the Holy Spirit, and we're just assisting. Oh, you sing of my miracles, and you even talk about my miracles, but now you will be partaker of these great miracles. You will be there, and you will see with your eyes firsthand what you have been reading about in my Word. You know, often, you know, I see Sister Grace in the Spirit, as she's walking up, down, and flagging, I see people actually fall out of their seats in the Spirit. And when they get up, they're screaming and yelling because they've been healed, set free, whatever. But I really do see that. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting those miracles to happen. And what does the devil do to her? He makes her believe she's not in God's will. And, you know, and so she questions herself at that quite a bit. And she needs to stop. The enemy's trying to get you to a place where your flagging won't be effective. Are you understanding this? Because he knows where God's taking everybody to, and he's trying to stop all of us. Oh, glorious day, what a glorious time you have already entered into. When I say the blind eyes shall be open, I am saying the spiritual blind eyes of the church will now see firsthand what I have been speaking about. Don't some of you sometimes feel like you're the low man on a totem pole, or you're just don't fit in with the crowd? Well, you don't. You're just not the low man on a totem pole. You're in heavenly places, and you should not fit in with the crowd. And what is the crowd? The church crowd. You should be unique. You should be different, and you should be doing exactly what God's calling you forth to do. This Holy Week holds so many signs, wonders, and miracles for those who have stayed the course, passed test after test, and finally endured the furnace of affliction to the point that they are perfected in my eyes. You got this is you guys. You've been through hell and back more times than you care, that I care to watch you go, and including myself, because it is finally over. It's finally over, and New Year's proved that. As I listened to you three guys teach, I marveled at how fast you've grown. And then I marveled at this prophetic word this morning as I listened to you and let God use you. You were different. Something in you finally clicked, and it's all God. And you're no longer fighting your flesh. Is this me or is this God? God takes control, and you just do what he tells you to do. Everything that I send to you to do will be accomplished with perfect precision. Isn't that beautiful? Perfect precision. There will be no mistakes. The enemy will not be able to trip you up in any way. You have already been through that school of darkness, and you have declared, I'm not going that way ever again. Haven't we said that? We meant that, didn't we? We're not going there again, are we? No, 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 no. In this dispensation of time, you will never see the darkness overtake you. Isn't that what God just spoke to us? For you will be riding high upon the mountaintops, destroying every work of darkness that Hades has been throwing your way. The way has been cleared for you to walk on fire and not be burned. The enemy has used up all his arsenal upon my true chosen children, and he is now looking for new ground to cover with his gross darkness. And that's the world out there. That's those ones God's going to send in, and now he's going to start working on them. Walk, little ones, walk like never before in the newness of life that is yours to behold. Walk in calm assurance that you are covered by the blood of my Son, and it is finished. It is finished. You really, you know, I say it all the time, God, I mean, devil, it is finished. I keep repeating what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. If we don't get that down in our spirit, it's never going to be finished. I'm not your vessel, devil, that you're going to work through. It is finished. Know with surety of heart that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. That's Isaiah 54:17. Rejoice, little ones, rejoice in the conviction that you are in the newness of life. And here there is no more turning back, only forward motion. You girls, you young people that God, because you're all girls, no guy here, you need to understand that it's all forward motion now. No more going back, no more looking to the right, left. God's just going to, he's going to be behind you, just pushing you forward and pushing you forward. And he's going to take you into the spirit realm where he wants you to be, and he's going to keep you there. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, this is what you have to do, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Deuteronomy 5:32, you shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's an important scripture, right? These are all important. Joshua 3:4-5, Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length, talking about the ark. Do not come near it in order that you may know that the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. It's a new thing, church. God told us we would not recognize the church. He was going to overhaul it to the point we would not recognize it. And right now, I sometimes don't recognize the lighthouse. I said, God, I don't even feel like we've been in church. You know, the Spirit's moving, and we're just laughing and carrying on, and I don't even feel like I've been in church, but yet we've all been blessed. Have you ever felt like that? Because this is something new. We have never done this before. Then Joshua said to the people, Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We're there. God is ready to do the wonders among us. Every new dispensation in God requires a new consecration of ourselves. This is why God has been asking us to come up higher at the altar calls. We cannot ascend higher in Christ without shedding the limitations of our previous attainments. I have to bury that thing every day of what God used to do so I can go higher into the greater works. Shake off all your mindsets of what God has done and get a new mindset of what God is doing right now. I really don't care if we never hear another word. My mindset is, God, you show up and you show off. You do what you've been promised us that you're going to do. Start using signs, wonders, and miracles. Heal the people, Father, before they ever come through the door. Pile them up at the door. I don't care what you do, but let's just quit coming in here and just sitting and hearing a word. It's time that God, we allow God to manifest himself in a mighty way. Amen. And I'm not going to say he used to. I'm just going to say God can move during praise and worship. He can do every miracle he wants to do during praise and worship. And we never need to hear the word. But, you know, Jesus went throughout the cities preaching the word and then performing signs, wonders, and miracles. So we aren't going to throw the word out the window. But I really do believe it's Catherine Kuhlman time. Because God said to be a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. And all they did was just show up and give testimonies of what God did for them. And great signs and wonders were there. And all Catherine Kuhlman did was welcome the Holy Spirit in and give the Holy Spirit credit for everything. And then the Holy Spirit showed off. Are you ready to walk in the fullness of life, the newness of life that we just read about? And when I ran across this, I said, God, that fits for right now. And you know, God will tell us something. It isn't for right that moment. It's for down the road. And I believe that this word was for today. And that's why I didn't give the teaching I was going to give. God wants each one of you in here right now to walk in the resurrection power of newness. Never looking at the old ever again. We left that in 22. And now we're having newness of life in 23. If you truly believe that God was speaking to you tonight and he wants you to walk in newness of life, you come up here and let God put his power in you.